only got a few hours left, and we don't have any more time to do anything in 2012. We won't have time to change what this year has been for us, what God has recorded that we did this year, how fruitful we were, how unfruitful we were, what fruit we bore in 2012. We don't have very long to change that. In fact, for the most part, if you consider it an average, we can't change that.
Right.
Done. It's over. And so all we can change is what we do for 2013. So this time next year, we can have something to look, have a year to look back on that we were more fruitful than the year before.
Amen.
You know, in school, every time you finish a grade, you either build on that which you've learned and go on to the next grade, or if you haven't learned it, you start back where you were at the beginning of the year and start over. And so we want to make sure that our next year is more fruitful than the one before. It says in Matthew 3:8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Over in John 15:16, it says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Romans 4 says that we should bring forth fruit unto God. One of the main reasons that Jesus died for us and that he's working in our lives is so that we bring forth fruits unto righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would work through me, help me to bring this in an understandable way, that those listening to me would have something to think on throughout the coming week and coming months, throughout the rest of this next year. Pray that it would be a blessing, that you'd use me to speak your word, Lord, and that I would not myself get in the way of your word being spoken this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Also says in Colossians 1:10 that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so we need to, each day we have a chance to be fruitful or to be unfruitful, to live that day with 365 days in a year. And so we can live each day fruitfully or unfruitfully, and each of those days makes up the year. And so yesterday, whether we were patient or kind, thoughtful, there's 365 of those days in a year. And then after that's passed, there's a year, whether we've been fruitful or not. Several facts about spiritual fruit. It's perennial, according to Webster, it's continuing without cessation or intermission, perpetual, unceasing, never failing. Ezekiel 47:12 talks about a tree that shall bring forth new fruit according to its months. If you planted a tree, you'd want it to, and you had fruit last year, you say the tree had fruit, but that's not enough. The next time the time of year comes around, you want more fruit. It says in the Bible, sufficient unto today is the evil thereof. My grace is sufficient unto thee. Tomorrow will have enough grace for its own troubles, but it must have its own fruit to count for eternity.
Right.
Grace won't take care of all of it. You have to do something about it. Produce fruit. Good fruit is grown only upon good ground. The seed in the stony ground withered away, and the seed that fell in the thorns was choked. None of it had fruit. We have to make sure our hearts are soft and make sure that they're good ground.
Right.
Good fruit is exclusive. Romans 8:7 says, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If we have a little, if we're holding on to a little bit of the flesh, or a little bit of what we want to do, maybe it feels to us like a little bit, it's probably not that little, but we can't be full of the fruits of righteousness because we're partly filled with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and so forth. Says in Philippians 1:1, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ and with the glory and praise of God. In James 3, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. One of the conditions to bearing fruit is that we have to be in contact with living with water. A tree that bears fruit has to have plenty of water to bear the fruit. We have to be in contact with living water to bear spiritual fruit. Psalms 1, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his seed, his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We have to be in the Word to know what spiritual the fruit is that God wants us to bear, and then study the Word and practice it to bear that fruit. So in John 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. This fruit is fruit unto ourselves. It actually says in Hosea that Israel brought forth fruit unto themselves, and they were an unfruitful vine. And God doesn't consider carnal fruit as being worthwhile fruit. He said it's no fruit at all.
Right.
And so we have to die to ourselves and die to the flesh to bring forth fruit unto righteousness and unto holiness.
Right.
Bring forth spiritual fruit. So in Hebrews 12:11, this is the verse that some of us may recognize. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. What is it? How do you think a tree feels when it gets pruned? Probably doesn't feel very good. But if the tree doesn't get pruned, then it'll spend all of its energy in woody branches, you might call that fruit unto itself, and not produce the fruit that's desired. And so it has to be pruned to bring forth the good fruit. But pruning, it loses parts. There's not any part of me I'd like to lose physically, but if there's a part that needs, you know, part in my life that needs to be taken away or pruned away to bring forth fruit, you know, that's needed, because fruit is an essential part of Christian life. God can only use someone as much as they are fruitful.
Right.
He can only use a Christian to the degree that they bring forth fruit. And I was looking through some of the verses. I'm going to draw a comparison about how little fruit someone had. But it says in Matthew 3:10, and now the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So it's not so much a matter of being a fruitful Christian or an unfruitful Christian. There's no such thing as an unfruitful Christian. Either you're a Christian or you're not. It says here, there in Matthew 3, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.
Right.
So we want to focus on bringing forth fruit. It's meet for repentance. It says in Romans 6:22, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. So it sounds like from the comparison there in Matthew 3, brings not forth good fruit, the end is everlasting death. In Romans 5:3-4, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. There are some fruits unto holiness, patience, and experience. We have to live Christian life, live a godly life. I heard someone say that God can create everything except somebody that wants to obey Him, and that has to be that person himself.
Right.
God can't create our fruits unto righteousness. We have to choose to do that.
Right.
God can bring things into our life. God can bring circumstances into our life that affect us, but we must choose to bear fruit unto righteousness.
Yeah.
It says in Isaiah 5:2, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a winepress therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Is there any reason it should have brought forth wild grapes? That seed was in there somewhere. The ground was naturally had a tendency toward wild grapes. And in this case, the gardener, the husbandman, gathered the stones out, planted it with the choicest vine. But in our case, in our lives, it's our responsibility to get all the seeds of wild grapes out and to gather out the stones. And in this case, the husbandman, there wasn't any fault of the husbandman that it brought forth wild grapes. God gives us all the opportunities, all of His Word to learn from. And if we bring forth wild grapes and bad fruit in our lives, it's none of His fault. It's because we didn't listen, because we didn't Because we didn't take those seeds out ourselves. Pull the plants out. Many causes of being unfruitful. Allowing ourselves to become too taken up with our daily living and our various pursuits, we can allow our focus to slip away from pursuing the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And those other pursuits will choke out our fruitfulness. It's like a thorny ground that wasn't a good ground, that thorns sprang up and choked out the seed that was trying to sprout. James 4 says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas know ye not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For then ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." These people allowed their own pursuits to choke out the pursuit of fruitfulness. Now, it's not that it was wrong for them to go and make various business dealings, but that they were taking that as being very important, the most important thing they were doing, that it was just going to happen, that they had control over it. They have to remember that the most important thing in life is seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those things will be added unto them, and that those are not as important as striving for bearing fruits unto righteousness. And so if those get in the way, those aren't wrong, but if they get in the way, they become wrong. And so we need to be careful that we keep the kingdom of God and His righteousness and bearing forth fruits unto holiness first in our lives. There's other fruit that we can bear. It's not fruits unto holiness. The fruits of the flesh, sin. So it says in Hebrews 6:8, "That which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." We don't have any good fruit, but it's all thorns and briars. That's not going to get us into heaven. It's not that we get into heaven by doing as much as we can. We need to live the way God wants us to, because He's not going to. He didn't build heaven for those that live like they want to live. Because when Adam sinned, from then on, humans are born with a sin nature, and so living like they want to, living in flesh, living in sin. And so we need to strive to purge out all the seeds and sprouts of fruits of the flesh out of our lives so that we can bring forth fruits unto holiness. I said earlier that it's exclusive. You can't be full of fruits of the Spirit if you have holding on to this little part of the flesh. And Brother Mark called in a sermon maybe a year or two ago, referred to them as Amalekites. Little things we're holding on to that we need to let go. There's all those animals that Saul saved back from the Amalekites. No matter what he said about the people, he was the king. He had control over what the people did. All those animals that were saved back from the Amalekites weren't pleasing to God. All those little things that were the best of what they had weren't. The best of the world isn't good enough. The best of the fruits of the flesh aren't fruits unto righteousness.
Right.
Says in Hosea 10, as referring to earlier, Israel is an empty vine, he bringeth forth fruit unto himself. So fruit unto ourself is of no worth to God. We need to become it. Said in John, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it will bringeth forth much fruit. And so we have to die to our flesh and to our sin nature to bring forth fruit. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now, it says in Galatians 5, "Now the works of the flesh manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and so forth, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before that I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things should not inherit the kingdom of God." It does sound like a lot of terrible things. But there are a lot of fruits of the flesh that aren't such big, terrible things. They're still fruits of the flesh, still sins.
That's right.
And they are such big, terrible things, we just don't look at them like that.
Right.
Impatience. Unkindness. Rebellion, as mentioned earlier. Even passive rebellion, so people think of that as just a little thing. It's just not wanting to do what you're told to do, really. Plainly inside. But that's still a fruit of the flesh. That's still cheerful obedience. It's fruits unto holiness, fruits unto righteousness. And if it's not cheerful obedience, then it's somewhere there in the fruits of the flesh. We may not think of it as being such a big thing. You know, we're told to do something, and we don't really want to do it, but we go anyway, and not doing it wholeheartedly, not doing it, maybe even not doing it quite how it was wanted done, but, well, I did what you said, but that's not, it's a matter of doing it to the letter, or doing it with the spirit of what was really wanted. And people argue about obeying the law versus obeying the spirit. The spirit is what was really wanted. The law, you could follow the law and skirt around, you could follow the letter of what was said and skirt around quite what was really intended. But if you do what was really intended, it's cheerful obedience, and that's what God wants to see when He commands us to do things, and it's also what He wants us to see. It's also what He wants to see when those in authority over us tell us to do, instruct us in various things. So the works of the flesh don't have to be big things, that, you know, or at least what we would look at and see as big and important. We have to make sure throughout this next year that day to day we crucify our flesh and bear fruits unto righteousness. Because day to day it matters. And a week passes. There's 7 days that you either bore fruits unto righteousness or live in the flesh.
Right.
And that's a week gone. Take or leave about 4 of those, make a month. And then there's a month gone. But overall, you either bore fruits unto righteousness or walk in the flesh. And so on. And you have a whole year. There's a year you can't take back. You either walk in the flesh or bore fruits unto righteousness. We can't change now what we've done in 2012. We can look back and see what we did, whether God was pleased with our past year overall, the progress we've made, or if, like, going to school and say you're in grade 5 and you took a whole year, essentially a whole year in that grade, you didn't learn what you were supposed to, didn't progress how you were supposed to, come to the next year, you start back at the beginning. It's a whole year you wasted. It's the same way we need to be careful in our lives. We make progress spiritually every year so that we can build on the past year instead of going back and making up for it. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that you would bless the message that I prepared. Help it to sink into the minds of those that hear it. Pray that you would bring it back to our memory from day to day as we live this next year. Help us remember that each day we can't take back, and it was lived either for you or for our flesh. Help us to remember that 7 of those make a week, 365 of those make a year, and then there's a whole year we can't take back. That's a year lost, a year of time lost, or a year of time we redeemed the time. Pray that as we go into 2013, that you would help us to bear in mind that we don't want to lose any time we can make progress, Lord. Pray that you bless the rest of the messages this evening. In Jesus' name.